the book of Judges, chapter 4. Chapter 4 of the book of Judges. Verse 2, the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, 20 years mightily oppressed the children of Israel. Verse 21, then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent, took a hammer in her hand, went softly unto him, smote the nail into his temples, fastened it into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary, so he died. And the people were delivered in chapter 5, then sang. Now the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 22, chapter 22 of Isaiah, and verse 22, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. And I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place, and he shall be for a glorious throne to his father's house. They shall hang upon him all the glory of his father's house, the offspring and the issue, all vessels of small quantity, from the vessels of cups, even to all the vessels of flagons. Now the epistle to the Colossians, chapter 2, for a final familiar reading. Chapter 2 of Colossians. And verse 13. And you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers and so on. We trust the Lord's blessing upon his word. It'll be difficult enough maybe to concise what I have to say, but we'll do our best and keep as much within the time as possible. At the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, the writer speaking about the work of a preacher and indicating that he searches out for words and goodly words and acceptable words and wise words, he says that the words of the preacher they're like goads and they're like nails that are fastened. Possibly the idea in the passage is the words of a preacher are like tent pegs that just go into the ground. And they keep the tent from blowing or being tossed or shifting in the storms. That's one of the purposes of ministry. It's to give people stability and to give them Bible pegs to which they can attach their faith, that they can be steadied and preserved. Words like nails. I have just a little handful of nails that I want to leave at the end of the meeting. I have about three in my hand and I have a few more in my pocket that I'll not be able to bring out. I would love to have talked to you about those gold nails of 50 shekels each. Nails never like them in the world. Solomon used them in the temple. Gold nails that he used on the inside, and then iron nails for the gate. See, you have nails for the gates. Iron. And then you have gold on the inside. But I'll have to leave those very, very wonderful nails. The first one that I want to mention is from Colossians chapter 2. And I want us to think about a nail that cancels. You know, it tells us concerning our sins. And in fact, our state and our slavery. And the apostle is reminding these believers of just how much took place at their conversion. As to their sins, they were in debt. As to their state, they were in death. As to their slavery, they were under the domination of principalities and powers. For the state of death, they have been quickened. As far as the slavery to demonic forces is concerned, they have been liberated. Communication of new life, the capitulation of old foes. And then he speaks about their sin. And there has been the cancellation of old liabilities. And he tells us what God has done with our sins. And the certificate of indemnity that condemned us. He said that certificate that was against us, he has done three things with it. God has. First of all, he blotted it out. Well, you see, that's all you need. No, but he says he did more. He says he not only blotted it out, but he says he took it out of the way. Well, you say, sure, if you got it blotted out, that'd be big enough. No, blotted it out. So the black sheet became a blank sheet. And just in case it would still present the slightest obstacle, even though it was cleared, God said, the sins that stood between you and me, the certificate of indebtedness, he said, I'll blot it, I'll take it away. When you say, that's it. No, he did a third thing. He put a nail through it. Nailed it to his cross. This is not what the Roman soldiers did when they nailed the Savior to the cross. This is a nailing that God has done with the judicial nail of his sentence. So that the certificate that used to declare our debt, it hasn't only been cancelled, it's left in tatters. Left in tatters. And he says, he has forgiven you all your trespasses. The completeness of that forgiveness and the cost of that forgiveness is Calvary, and the comfort of that forgiveness. I spoke to a man, or he spoke to me the other day, saved a little while. And the problem that he was having was just this, that he couldn't get out of his mind some of the old sins that he committed in the rough time of his life. And it was bothering him. You know, dear Christians, it's a great thing for us just to appreciate that our sins have been completely eliminated. We bless our Savior's name. Our sins are all forgiven. To suffer once to earth he came, and now he's crowned in heaven. Sometimes I have had people come to me, and these dear brethren the same, and they say, David, I can't, it happened, and I can't forgive myself. I can't forgive myself. I can't get it out of my mind. And I just can't forgive myself. And it bothers me. Well, you see, where did you learn that psycho language? Where did you ever read about forgiving yourself? And what does that matter anyway? I tell you, dear Christian, if God has forgiven you, don't you worry about forgiving yourself. It's not a matter of self-pardon if there has been a judicial pardon. And you can say it's all settled and all has been cancelled. Blot it out, take it away, and actually nailed. You know, nailed above the head of a crucified man was his crime. Nailed above the head of the blessed Savior was the superscription. Jesus of Nazareth, that's in the Gospels. When you get to Colossians chapter 2, Paul says, there's another sign above his head. It's not the notice of his crime, which men put there. He said, it's the notice of our crimes, which God has put there. Taken out of the way, and God has nailed the bond of debt to his cross. I better leave that. A nail to cancel. But then I want to speak just for a couple of minutes, and this will take us back to almost the beginning of the meeting, about a nail to conquer. And you know that I'll have to avoid being diverted into speak about the cruelty of this woman putting a nail through the man's head. In Judges chapter, the earlier chapter, the man had to deal with a belly. The Moabitish Michelin man of the Old Testament, Eglon. The problem with him was the belly. But when it came to this man, the problem with him was his brain. And what the dagger did to the first man's belly, this woman's nail did to this fellow's brain. And I tell you, she nailed it. She nailed it. And when that evil man and his evil ideas were nailed, the land had rest. They enjoyed the land. They enjoyed the liberty. They enjoyed the Lord as they hadn't enjoyed him for 40 years. Because this man, Jabin, and his chief commander, Sisera, they had brought the people into captivity. But there was a woman took a nail in her left hand. And with a hammer, what the Bible says, the hammer of the workman. Many a good workman had handled that hammer. But with a nail in her left hand, and with a hammer in her right hand, she just put it in the brain where the man's false ideas were. And the problem, I tell you, it was nailed. Can I say, to just get my message as brief as I can, we've been hearing about people having the conviction to make refusals. Can I speak again to younger brethren here? Would there be anything in your life that's keeping you from the joy of the Lord? Is there any evil being tolerated in your life that's bringing you into captivity, that has robbed you of the enjoyment of your spiritual freedom, and you know that you are not the Christian that you could be, and you're not even the Christian that you used to be? I would like to say today, the only way to deal with it is to nail it. Nail it. If it's that secret watching of the internet, if it's some place that you are going, if it's some practice that you are doing and it's an evil in your life, my word is, don't trifle with it. Don't toy with it. Don't trivialize with it. Nail it. And just as she brought the hammer down upon the nail, and the weight of that hammer drove the nail to its target, I would encourage us to use the faithful hammer of the Word of God. I trust that the things that have been mentioned here today, that some of these weighty matters will just fall into our hearts and will fall into some life. And I tell you, when this woman had the courage to nail it, the very next chapter tells us the song started again. There's a young man somewhere in this conference, and there's an evil being kept in your tent. It has robbed you of your song. It has robbed you of your joy and your usefulness. I would encourage you today, take the nail. Bring the weight of the Word of God to bear upon it. And have it finished and executed. Don't give it a second chance. Just as these good men refused. You know, in dealing with sin in our lives, and it touches us all, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. But remember, we have to be ruthless. And we have to be resolute. A victory is going to be attained. What the dagger, the two-edged dagger was to the first man with the corpulent belly, is what the tent peg and the nail and the hammer was to this man with a crafty brain. You know, I haven't time to go into all the insidious influences of the world's thinking in our day. I pity some of our younger Christians in industry and education. This day, the 15th of October, pardon me for mentioning this, it won't be of interest to many of you. This day, the 15th of October, 1844, was the birthday of Nietzsche. One of the most wicked thinkers that ever lived on planet Earth. He propagated his philosophy of God is dead. It was the philosophy of Nietzsche. He spent his, you know, the amazing thing is this. The man that really blasphemed God, his mother was a sincere Christian lady. When he went off in the head and spent ten years at the end of his life like a raging maniac, his good Christian mother was the lady that looked after him. And she said the thing that impressed her most in those raging times when he was locked up and no one near him but herself in the same house. The raging thing was this. She couldn't believe how many verses of the Bible he kept repeating. And the philosophy of Nietzsche is the very philosophy that informed and fueled Nazism. Hitler lived on Nietzsche. Under Nazism, it led to the genocide that has sprinkled blood over the last century. It also informed the philosophy of nihilism. Nazism led to wholesale genocide. Nihilism, which is the philosophy, there's no meaning to life, there's no purpose, there's nothing to live for. Sadly, that's the philosophy that leads to suicide. Many of you Christians are exposed to some of those philosophies, and things can get into your life and into your mind. Dear young brother, you watch your mind and preserve your mind. And my word today is this. If there is any evil thing that is influencing your mind and robbing you of spiritual power, in God's name, nail it! And you'll get back your victory and your liberty and your spiritual joy. The nail of cancellation that took away our sins. The nail of conquest that removed evil and restored victory. I want to speak just a word as I close. Not just a nail to cancel and a nail to conquer. But we've read in Isaiah chapter 22 concerning the Lord Jesus that he's a nail to carry. God said, I'll fasten him as a nail in a sure place. And he said, they'll hang upon him all the vessels of the Father's house. The little vessels. The medium vessels, the large vessels, the offspring and the issue. He said, this nail will be so well fixed that they'll be able to hang it all upon him. And he'll bear the whole weight of the Father's house. Thank God there's a nail. You know, that nail speaks to me three things about the Lord Jesus. I would love to have expanded on Isaiah 22, but I'll forbear. He's the commander of the government in that chapter. He's the controller of the gate with the key of David. And he's the carrier of the glory. But just that last one, the nail fastened in a sure place. You know, it tells me about a risen Christ. Because the nail's up. This is not Christ in humiliation. I don't think the nail of Isaiah 22 is a tent peg in the ground. I think it's a nail fixed in an elevated position. And dear Christians, as we close the conference this afternoon, this part of the ministry, it's great to know that we have a risen Savior. O Lord, thou now art seated above the heavens on high. The gracious work completed for which thou camest to die. To thee our hearts are lifted as pilgrims wandering here. For thou alone art gifted, for every weight to bear. Arisen Christ, let me say, dear Christians, I'll take half a minute. When you're neither a major prophet nor a minor prophet, if you're a local prophet, you really get special liberties. Not only is this nail a risen Christ in an elevated position, I want to say that our position in Christ, listen carefully, dear Christian, your position in Christ today is just as secure as the position of Christ upon the throne of God. Reach my blessed Savior first. Take him from God's esteem. Prove Jesus bears one spot or stain. Then, and only then, tell me I'm unclean. Not only a risen Christ, but a reliable Christ. The weight. The offspring is a masculine plural noun. The issue, you can hang upon this nail, offspring and issue. The issue is a feminine plural noun. You know, we can carry the weight of brethren and sisters alike. I was aware, as I sat listening to our good brethren, sitting dotted throughout this audience today, there are a lot of Christians carrying heavy burdens. Thank God, as I've already said, with the nail to cancel, we've got rid of the burden of sin. Some of the burden of hospital appointments. Some of the burden of failing health. Some of the burden of bereavement and its subsequent widowhood. And as great as we've heard this public fellowship, You'll slip away in an hour or two to a quiet little chamber and you'll hear the click of the door and that's it. Maybe you're finding life to be wearisome and heavy. Can I say, dear Christians, he can carry it all. Lean upon the Saviour. Hang upon him. Trust in him. The risen Saviour. Draw upon him. Suspend all your burdens on the mighty muscle of his omnipotence. Learning to lean. Learning to lean. And finding more power than I ever dreamed. Learning to lean upon Jesus. A reliable Christ. And finally, can I say, he's not only a risen Saviour and a reliable Saviour, he's a resplendent Saviour. I'm inclined to think that the figure here is from a warning. I can't take time to justify it. I hear the rattle of the kettles and the rumble of the tummies. So I better stop. But I say this. It's the warrior's tent, and the chieftain of the army would have a tent. And in the centre of his tent would be the major's strengthening pole. And on that pole would be a special peg. And on that peg would be suspended the trophies of his triumph. And when the chieftain would roll back in the morning sun the tent door, and the streaming beams of sunlight would shine in, you would see radiating on that central pole and from the peg all the beauty and the glory of the triumphs of the chieftain. I'll tell you, dear brethren and sisters, some of these days the canvas will roll back and the morning will break, and the Bible tells us that he'll bear all the glory of the Father's house. When the bright morn of his glory has come and the children ascend to their Father's bright home, we'll shout with his likeness impressed on our brow, 'Tis thou who art worthy, Lord Jesus, 'tis thou. And he will be resplendent to look upon the trophies and the triumphs of his grace. And every saint freed from all the travail and troubles of earth and reflecting his beauty and glory forever. I tell you, it will be eternal distinctions for the resplendent Saviour. That's as far as I can go. I'll keep the other ones in my pocket. And yet, three's enough. A nail to cancel. A nail to conquer. Nail it down. And a nail to carry all the burdens of the Lord's people. May God encourage our hearts and bless further for his own glory.